look, everything in Washington has been a lie. Weapons of mass destruction.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Release the Kraken!
3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
Thunder! Thunder! Thunder!
Are not fit anymore for the 21st century. It has laid bare the fundamental lack of social cohesion, fairness, inclusion, and equality. In short, we need a great reset.
If they asked us all 20 years ago to start reducing the population, and by starting with ourselves, well, no one would step forward and volunteer. So they do it. And that was the whole point of creating the Royal Institute for International Affairs, a parallel government, because they said that democracy and the bickering with politicians and, as I say, the irreconcilable factors amongst groups within society were just too different, too much at odds, and they were at loggerheads with each other. They could not get their big agenda through. Therefore, the parallel government would not be responsible to the public, and it could steamroll ahead and bring in the New World Order.
Hydra has been secretly feeding Christ, reaping war. And when history did not cooperate, history was
too high. Here's what we know. We know that the people who are dying from this disease are 11-fold more likely to pass if they are...
What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Later. I like to play with things a while before annihilation.
But friend, you are my only friend.
What the hell are you doing with this creep, huh, Benny? What's in it for you?
It is better to be the right hand of the devil than in his path. As long as I serve him, I am immune.
From what?
Pitch cash a lot.
What did you say?
I don't want to tell you. You just hurt me so
much. As we struggle out of the shadow of our malefactors, welcome back to the light.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am
vengeance.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. For at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you have been willing to trade all the years from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that you can take our lives, that you can never take our freedom? Every man dies. Not every man truly lives. You, we must fight for that authentic freedom and live, my friend. By God, we must live. And with the Holy Spirit as your shield and Christ as your sword, may you join St. Michael and all the angels in defending God and setting Lucifer and his henchmen straight right back to hell where they belong. All storms. Yes. The storm is upon us. But not without Jesus, our rudder.
The dark clouds hanging over our government can be lifted and replaced with a bright future. But it all depends on whether we let the corrupt media decide our future or whether we let the American people decide
who are capable
of such crimes against our nation are capable of anything. For them, it's a war. And for them, nothing at all is out of bounds. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation. Believe me. And this will be our last chance.
And I've seen people quitting.
Hey, rats! Rats!
Dale! Did you have a plan if he responded?
I didn't think that far ahead.
Well, you should have thought that far ahead because Rex responded. You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive truth with a bite. Forgive me for my poor voice. I am still working on overcoming a cold, a flu, an Omicron, or whatever the hell is floating around out there. I thought I would pop in and do a brief show. If any of you want to talk to me, feel free to call in. Call-in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2022. The second decade of the second millennium started off with a whimper, disappointment, and an agonizing year of Let's Go Brandon. It is easy to fall prey to despondency and despair given the year we have been through and all the nonsense and chaos and insanity that lies ahead. But there is always hope in the midst of darkness. The Ides of Janus loom, and the tempest approaches. Prepare your heart. It is the beginning of a new year, and all the hope and trepidation which that anticipates. The crossroads of history to the incarnation of Christ. And that gives meaning to everything. We often don't pause to think about such profound events, especially if we try to make Christian message a part of our lives. It almost becomes ubiquitous and easy to accept as just routine. That's why on the liturgical calendar we have feasts. Right now we are in the midst of the Christmas season. Even on the old, the new calendar, Christmas begins on December 25th. Epiphany is on the 6th, which is the Eastern Christmas Eve. But it is a time to reflect on what Christmas really means. God, eternal, was born. The incarnation happened 9 months prior. Mary said, "May it be done to me according to thy word." That's on March 25th. The birth of Jesus Christ is a profound event. It reminds us that God became man. We might become like unto God. It would be near impossible to know God in any sense beyond the mythologies of the pagans and the rational musings of the philosophers, unless God revealed himself. Not only did God reveal himself, he reveals himself. And not only does he reveal himself, he took on flesh and became incarnate, like us in everything but sin. We should be paying more attention. The spirit of this fallen world is a master at deceit and distraction, and we must resolve to keep our mind in Christ. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, this show is presumably about politics. At least that's how it was born. It's the Tex and Rex show 10 years ago in 2012. Almost 10 years ago. I think it was in the spring of 2012. But the fact of the matter is that politics is a subset of our social life. And that is always a subset of life itself. Life itself is always subject, focused on, centered on, reliant upon God himself. And what you believe about the fundamental truths of reality will dictate everything that you do in your life and how you perceive the world around you. Without a fundamental understanding of how things actually work, it is easy to be led astray. It is easy to believe the comfortable and attractive lies. And when you believe the lies, you deny the truth. When you deny the truth, you're committing suicide. In this fallen world, we are all subject to lies, any we choose to believe. While some lies are obvious and we reject them for their deceit, others are sweet and seductive and can easily fool us into accepting them as truth and fact. This clever deceit induces us to perceive the world as it isn't. This will eventually lead to friction and conflict, which induce stress and anxiety. Powers and principalities of this present darkness engineer this false meta-narrative, couching it in high-minded pseudo-morality and benefits, preying upon your natural desire, the good and the beautiful, and leveraging your fallen nature's overwhelming passions into a psycho-spiritual jujitsu to use your own powers as your own fetters. And it is key to remember here what you are. You are a human being. And that means that you are body, mind, soul, spirit. What is done to your body affects your mind. Your mind affects your body. There is no bifurcation. You are not a ghost in a machine. And the purveyors of this present darkness know this better than you. We know from Aldous Huxley that the final revolution will be pharmacological and psychological. And we are right now facing a medical tyranny. Some of us may have seen coming, but none of us imagined would be as it is. Your body can affect your mind and vice versa. And you, as an integrated being, need to address both, knowing full well that in this brief temporal experience, the body will wither away and die. But because Christ himself assumed fallen human nature and elevated it to a glorious status, we will all rise again. The only question that remains is, will you rise to life or will you rise to death? Everything else is secondary to that most important question. And everything else must be ordered towards that destination. Because without that telos informing all of your decisions, you will easily be led astray. And we are all led astray. Dead bodies float downstream. It takes a heroic effort to swim against current. In this frightening situation in which we find ourselves, as excess mortality is somewhere between 25 and 40%, that means, on average, in this country, 3 million people die every year. 3 million people die every year. Most of them are at the end of their life based on the average human life expectancy, but not all of them. Excess mortality is a number over and above that anticipated mortality. And the only factor that has increased that in such a short period of time is the drive towards the Great Reset, medical tyranny. Not just the vaccines, although that's probably the number one contributing factor. Suicides, drug addictions, mild to severe insanity causing people to make bad decisions that increases risk and ends lives. They're all factors. They are all part of the current medical tyranny, PSYOP, trending towards the Great Reset of the New World Order. And in situations such as this, human psyche has to find ways to cope with the incredible amount of pain and suffering that we are witnessing and experiencing personally, anecdotally, publicly, in the aggregate, all of it. Some cope, like I said, with drugs. It may lead to overdoses. Some cope so poorly that suicide seems to be the only way out. Some cope by deluding themselves into believing that it isn't as bad as some say that it is. Some cope by being at the right hand of the devil rather than in his path, under the false assumption that if you ally with the devil and avoid being in his path, that you will be rewarded. But you won't be, because the devil is all about death and murder and lies. Most of us cope by forgetting. We cope by forgetting. We have to forget so much, even things we didn't know that we remembered, in order to become our own enemy. It is important to remember. 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 We must remember that for freedom, we have been set free. When we dare to turn, when we dare to remember, when we boldly ask for help in getting beyond ourselves, when we humbly admit that we have subscribed to deceitful meta-narratives, pusillanimous paradigms, mundane, droll, anodyne metaphysics based on materialist lies, then we can begin to see. Repenting of our lies, we may be able to see the truth, a glimpse darkly here and there, and then a little more. And then suddenly, like light breaking dawn, we see the obvious truth clearly, and our soul is shocked for having not seen it before. We are an obstacle. We are the perpetrator of our own victimhood. We do this to ourselves. But God has given us the power to overcome ourselves. Dare we accept the challenge? Dare we boldly accept the challenge? He, the victory. Christ is victor. I've been struggling with this, whatever it is, and, you know, it's not as bad as other variants, I suppose, assuming it is what it is. I don't know. There's so much deceit, but definitely my body was physically under attack. Yours will be too. There's practically no way to avoid the illness, unless you're going to really shutter yourself in, and then there's all sorts of other problems that are associated with that. But God has given your body an incredible healing capacity, even if you're wounded by other conditions and comorbidities. You just have to be prudent about it. Will challenge you. A physical ailment, whether it's, you know, Omicron or Deltacron or Omidelta or just influenza or even just, you know, regular rhinovirus or coronavirus, whatever it is, it'll challenge you physically, and it'll remind you that you are weak, you are woundable, and you're eventually going to die. And it'll make you look at things more deeply. But it also, physical wounds create little openings for preternatural creatures to anchor themselves in those wounds, because their goal is to wound you spiritually. Now, I know some of you may not believe this stuff. The fact of the matter is that that's probably the most dangerous forgetting you can do. The fact of the matter is there are two orders of beings in this cosmos. There are the disembodied angelic beings who are pure intellects. They are invisible to the naked eye. They are very real. And there are the human beings who are body, soul, and spirit. Those are facts of revelation, and they are part of reality. These are the two orders of beings that have a free will. And that is what we're concerning ourselves with. And you have a free will, and you have to make decisions. And there are those, both in the flesh and those without, who are trying to manage you and manipulate you into making bad decisions, into making decisions that are detrimental and harmful to yourself, to others, in a vain attempt to injure God. And you need to push back against that, and you need to push back against it earnestly. And the only way that you can do that is to be armed with spiritual weapons, because it is spiritual warfare as much as it is asymmetric warfare. And they are interrelated fields of battle. And in struggling with this, I wasn't able to do a show before because the one thing about whatever this is, whether it's a part of the Chinese Fauci bioweapon, whether it's just a regular seasonal disease, virus, whatever, it inflicts extreme fatigue upon you. Being tired makes it difficult to do things. But it also affords you an opportunity to think, to be alone with your thoughts, and to realize that you're never alone with your thoughts, to pray. Above all, you need to be grateful. You need to be filled with gratitude. I know it sounds odd. Believe you me, before I began to become a Christian, this sort of nonsense would irritate me when someone would tell me to be grateful because there was so much shit that goes on. But the challenges of life are a gift. And the challenges are what create change and improvement. You navigate them properly. And for that, you truly need to be grateful, because none of us deserves the opportunities that we have, even amidst this nightmare in which we find ourselves. None of us deserve it because we have all thrown it away. But in God's infinite mercy, he affords us these opportunities, and it is extremely important to be grateful for them. And I am filled with gratitude for this challenge. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen, amen, amen. Wounds hurt. Wounds can be fatal. runes can be so instructive. If you just have to know how to handle a wound. You have to know how to treat a wound. You cannot ignore a wound. Forgetting about the wound is very dangerous. You must remember the wounds. If you permit the wounds to fester, you could suffer sepsis and then gangrene. And eventually, all that is left is carrion, and the buzzards cheer and feast. You have to tend to your wounds. But we're filled with fear. Fear is actually the primary motivator for human action. Fear is the primary motivator for human action. It shouldn't be, or more correctly, proper fear should be. Unfortunately for most of us, the improper fear is the primary motivator. You know, the tramps from Tavistock, the Fab Four, they said all you need is love. And that's true. But what is love? In modern usage, love is manipulation, romantic games, emotional outbursts, chemical interactions in the brain, which is a bodily organ, and any number of other self-centered emotional perversions of true love born of fear. Fear moves men. In FOMO, fear of missing out, inspired Adam to take the fruit his wife offered at the behest of the serpent. Oh, Rex, you're talking Christian mythology from the book of Genesis. It's not mythology. It is from the book of Genesis. And it is the story of your first parents. And it is a story that must be remembered. And not in its back of the cereal box comic book version that most of us are familiar with. That's fine for children to begin to instruct them in the truth. When we aren't children anymore, we have to look at these things far more deeply. Fear of missing out. Fear of pain. Fear of lack of control. Fear of unknowing. Fear of irrelevance. Fear is the mind killer, the little death. Fear often drives you into the clutches of that which you fear in a dialectical defeat. The real action of fear is the reaction born of fear. It is love, true love, that drives out fear. The question is not, what is love? The question is, who is love? It's a name. Love is a person. Love is Christ Jesus. And fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Jesus Christ, love himself, drives out fear. Don't let the wounds fester. The world is fallen, and therefore it will seek to manipulate you, to influence you in the ways of the world, to cajole you, to coerce you, to impose mandates upon you, to behave in a way that is detrimental to yourself and detrimental to all of those around you. We order our lives together here. And we need to guide, to teach, to edify, to liberate, to counter that manipulation, negative influence, cajoling, coercion, and mandates. It is always important to remember. Remember the wounds. Remember how we got here. Remember the fear. And remember the love that drives it out. Remember the Fauci, Gates, Xi psychological weapon of 2019 and 2020. Because that's what COVID-19 was. If there ever was a bioengineered weapon, SARS-CoV-2 or whatever the fuck, it was practically irrelevant. It was probably engineered to be that way. That wasn't the weapon that was deployed in late 2019. The weapon that was deployed was a psychological weapon. It was designed to create the vaccine eugenics vector of 2021 in order to fundamentally transform or reset the world into a techno-slave society and wipe out millions of undesirables. That's what it was designed to do. Taking out the threatening presidency of Donald J. Trump was not the original design of this dastardly social engineering and murderous plan, but it did prove to be useful to that end. It was a very useful tool because the so-called pandemic that kind of really jumped in on the tail end of the impeachment hoax, the first impeachment hoax. This is the one with the phone call, the perfect phone call, the whole thing, you know. Even Steve Bannon began his show, which is still an important show despite some of the nonsense and the getter jerking that goes on there. It was called War Room Impeachment. But it quickly morphed, and it still remains, War Room Pandemic. Because the pandemic psychological operation put an end to Donald J. Trump's presidency. That was mid-March of 2020. March 16th, 2020. 15 days to slow the spread. And even though the purpose was moving towards the Great Reset, they had to get him out of the way. That's exactly what happened. Beginning March 16th, 2020, that was the end of the greatest 3 years of presidency any of us have ever witnessed in our lifetime. It was not only fun, it was incredible accomplishments, showing how easily some of the self-inflicted problems which we suffer can be reversed with just a little bit of boldness and good policy rather than deceptive games that are constantly deployed by the Democrats on behalf of the globalists with the assistance, the invaluable assistance of the Republicans. It's the Republicans, stupid. They wanted Trump gone as much, if not more, than the Democrats. And they colluded together with the Chinese communists to work on two tracks. One, the pandemic hoax in order to lead to genocide and the Great Reset. And two, the whole social distancing, psychological terror, mail-in ballots, Trump is killing people because of his mishandling of the pandemic, PSYOP all the way through the election, so that the rigging, which is electronically done through fractional magic in the machines you've surrendered your right to vote to, but it needs to be backed up by paper. And that was what the whole mail-in ballot and all the illegal and unconstitutional activities were going on, because they can't just cheat the way that they do in practically every election, because the margins are presumably so small and no one really notices. With the America First MAGA movement that, by God's grace, beat the cheat in 2016 and was bigger in 2020, they had to cheat so badly that it was impossible for them to provide the supporting data for the theft without pausing, simultaneously stopping, counting of the ballots in 5 or 6 states and then backfilling for the next 4 days to provide evidentiary support for the electronic manipulation that they executed. And they did it successfully. Now, is it obvious to everybody? It's obvious to most people who have 2 brain cells to rub together. But they succeeded in the sense that Trump was ousted. And then on January 8th, he was silenced. And then on January 20th, he left office. And a puppet was installed for the public face of government administration. That's what happened. So this was they used it to do both things, the one that it was originally intended to do and the one that they had to do because you provided an obstacle in the presidency of Donald J. Trump. They would have done this to you even if Clinton had successfully stolen the 2016 election as Biden did the 2020 election. And when I say that, I don't mean Clinton and Biden actually stole the election. They're the avatars for what was happening. But if they had been able to install Hillary as they intended in 2016, they would have still foisted this pandemic, but at that point it wouldn't have been to remove a president. Madam President would have been lauded for how she handled the pandemic. And because of the severity of this pandemic, we're going to need blue helmets to come in here and save us. All this stuff would have been happening at a more accelerated pace because it was part of their plan. The Luciferian globalists are pushing their plan to build back better. Notice the coordination around the world about build back better, which I suspect they believe will be successful to holding their tyrannical power over the world. However, this kind of plan, the only things that a plan like this can succeed in engineering are death and destruction. That's all it will succeed in doing. And unfortunately, it has succeeded in doing that. You just haven't seen all of the results yet. But what they've also found is that they've met more resistance around the world than they expected, despite their anticipation that millions will resist. I mean, we know this for a fact. We read their documents. You know, you can go find them. I've talked about them before. I'm not going to go into that much detail now because I'm tired and this is not going to run very long. But, I always post that meme of H.G. Wells, right? I mean, I remember when I was younger, I used to read a lot of science fiction. I mean, that's an interesting genre. But I didn't know how it tied in with globalism as much as I do now, obviously. But H.G. Wells was one of the pioneers of science fiction. And he wrote a book in 1939 called, wait for it, The New World Order. This is following up on other books he's written, like The Shape of Things to Come, which was earlier. This is 1939, so it's, 6, 7 years after Huxley's Brave New World. It's before Orwell's 1984. It is 2 decades after Zamatian's We. And in it, in that book, he says, countless people will hate the New World Order and will die protesting against it. So they're fully aware that there would be resistance. And they seem to be anticipating that and prepared for it, but I don't think that they anticipated how much resistance they would get. And it's beautiful to see. Now, if you're just following mainstream conservative sources and mainstream news, you probably don't know shit about it, but the fact of the matter is that there is resistance all over the world. They have no idea how far sane men will go to stop them. They will fail. Now, their failure does not guarantee our success. That's dialectical thinking, and it is not helpful. It'll either give you some kind of triumphalist mentality like the Whitehead's got this and, you know, God wins in the end and all this kind of crap. But they will fail. Now, They've already succeeded in creating death and destruction, but they will fail to hold power with this. Only thing they can do is kill with this. What comes after that, that's unknown. You have one job. One job. Resist. Rebel. Revolt. Do not comply. And definitely do not be silent. Would have been very easy for me to be silent today. Fucking tired, man. My voice is scratchy. I have a slight lingering cough and some congestion. From what I understand, this thing lasts about a month, 6 weeks, depending on factors. But I did not want to be silent because I'm not called to be silent. And not because I'm, you know, an amateur voluntary radio talk show host. I'm called not to be silent because I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. He demands that I boldly proclaim the truth in season and out of season, whether I want to or not. So I am not being silent. You cannot be silent. You must be bold and loud. And sometimes you can be bold and loud without words, just by your actions, by your noncompliance, by your resistance, by daring to go out in public with a naked face in places where they tell you that your face must be covered. God knows your face. He made your face. He wants you to show your face and use your voice and do not be silent. I don't know how many of you are listening to me live because I haven't been poking around, primarily because I'm tired and I can barely get the words out. But as always, most people do not listen to this show live on Sunday evening. It is available free of charge on blogtalkradio.com/Liberty's Thunder. And it is usually available on Bond Robbins channels and Bond Robbins channels. And if you're not watching his videos and you're not paying attention, you are missing out. He did two incredible videos of morning and evening prayers that we should all be praying together. I mean, maybe you already have such a routine. You should. I've been lax about it, but you should. And if you do, then great. You might want to consider incorporating these prayers, because when we pray together, the prayers are even more powerful. But he did morning and evening prayers. They're not very long. It'll take you 15, 20 minutes. Make sure you check it out. But that's Bond Robin on Rumble, Bond Robin on BitChute, and Bond Robin on Gab TV. What Andrew Torba is doing is excellent work, and you need to support Gab. You need to become part of Gab. You need to follow me on Gab, @Rex_Christie. On January 6th, the day of the Fedsurrection anniversary, I got booted off Facebook again for sharing a post from my timeline's memory about the fake Cubanadian Ted Cruz, showing you that the techno-globalist establishment protects all of their soldiers, party affiliation, or even personality thing, because all the globalists really kind of hate Ted Cruz because he's really more about Ted Cruz than anything else. But they'll use him. They'll protect him when he's useful to them. They'll protect him when they can extract judgeships out of him for giving his donors what they were looking for in order for him to present himself as the alternate to the Trump candidate, who isn't a no-con for 2024. I mean, there's no surprises here. The fact that people are surprised that Ted Cruz is a cunt is just, you know, fucking ridiculous. This is the guy that said, don't vote for Trump, vote up and, you know, up and down the ballot, vote your conscience. I mean, we know who he is. We've talked about him 6 million times, fake fucking Cuban-Adian son of a bitch. What was his father doing in Dallas when Kennedy was shot? Curious about that, too. But either way, I got booted off Facebook again. Now, you know, John Rawls is still on there, but, you know, he's got like 3 followers. Get on Gab. Get on Gab. I'm on Facebook. I can kind of consider it mission territory, but the fact of the matter is that for us to communicate, you need to be on platforms that don't screw you over. Get on Gab. Now, there's also Getter, right? Well, Getter is really just Twitter for right-wing people. I mean, Twitter has lost it. It's become nothing other than yesterday. It got inundated with oranges, which is hilarious. But Getter is part of the fake corralling mechanism. That doesn't mean don't be on there. I am on there. What is my Getter handle? Probably Rex underscore Christie. Rex underscore Christie. Getter censors. They just censored Nick Fuentes. You know, well, we don't tolerate white supremacy. What does that even mean? First of all, Nick Fuentes is not a white supremacist. They banned the word groiper. For those of you who don't know what a groiper is, these are Zoomers who happen to be America First nationalists, socially conservative Christians. Their biggest crime is not white supremacy because they're not white supremacists. Their biggest crimes are pointing out that butt buggery does not further a society. So Getter banning groiper is basically kowtowing to the gay agenda, which isn't really a gay agenda. It's a globalist agenda that's anti-family. But in conservative circles, the chic thing now is to be against trans, right? Because that's, you know, redefining man and woman, blah, blah, blah. But redefining the roles of men and women with the gay agenda, that's good. And the groipers say, no, that's not good. So the word groiper is now officially banned by Jason Miller. And the other thing that they attack them on is anti-Semitism. Right? There's really hardly any anti-Semitism. What it is being pro-Christ. If you're pro-Christ, you are by definition standing against Judaism. Judaism denies the divinity of Christ. Therefore, if you are a Christian, an actual Christian, not some kind of prosperity gospel, Zionist, prelist, deluded, pseudo-Christian, but an actual disciple of Christ, then you are against Judaism, and not solely against you. You're against paganism, you're against Islam, you're against all of the things that are not Christian, not necessarily in the sense of you come out in opposition, but you come out for Christ. And if you're for Christ, there is no compromise with things that are anti-Christ. So the word groiper is banned on Getter for that reason. But, you know, we have to communicate where we can. But on Gab, you don't have any such restrictions whatsoever because Andrew Torba is a committed Christian who believes in liberty. Now, he is pretty judicious about keeping porn off Gab, which isn't restricted on Twitter. But as far as speech goes, there is hardly any limits. I mean, there are some legal limits to speech. You can't just say whatever the fuck you want that might, you know, incite or cause violence or something like that. Libel laws, that sort of thing. But make sure you get on Gab and don't fall for this nonsense that it's a hotbed of, you know, anti-Semitism and white supremacy. That's just nonsense. It's not. It's truly a free speech platform. I don't know where I'm going with this. I probably want to wrap up because an hour is probably as far as we're going to go. But you have to remember that the system is designed for evil. And they want you to be a cog in the system. They want us over-medicated and under-educated and informed so that we're easy to manage and murder and genocide and push into a transhumanist tyranny. There is no such thing as a transhumanist tyranny. There's death. There's destruction. It isn't going to be some kind of, you know, sci-fi dream of manipulating reality for our benefits at the expense of God. It's not going to work out that way. You need to be an anomaly in the system. You need to be an anomaly that is a void for truth. You need to be a champion for Christ. The key ingredient is truth. Is it absent, or is he present? Do we willfully obscure, or do we magnify? Most idiots who fancy themselves modern free thinkers, regurgitating tired ideas that have already been refuted and discredited because they imbibed on those fallacies subliminally and aren't even aware of the dastardly men who formulated and propagated those lies in the first place. I believe some of this nonsense. Back before I had my conversion to Christ, thanks be to God, I was baptized and that gave me the grace, but libertarian ideology, maybe one day we'll get into some of that, but not today, I'm too tired. But and when I say libertarian ideology, that's classical liberalism, which today would ostensibly pass for conservatism just as easily as anything else. I know that conservatives and libertarians have problems, but the libertarian classic liberal spectrum has its own internal spectrum from left to right. Okay, but basically these are modern ideologies based on liberation from the old order. Now, there are problems with the old order that we inherited in Western civilization, but the true liberation is to liberate ourselves from the Christian world order, which has never been perfect because it is implemented by fallen, flawed men. But it is more in comportment with reality and truth than any other order that men have established. And liberating ourselves from that is essentially driving ourselves into slavery under the pretext of liberty. And it's been a very successful campaign. And we seem to think that we've reinvented the wheel. We haven't. We've been handed a broken wheel. We just consider it our wheel. Instead, what we need to do is repair the wheels. Confusing the incompetent apparatchiki and the diabolically cunning operators is a symptom of the liberal mind. That's what the liberal mind does. Liberalism confuses purposely. And you have to understand what reality we find ourselves in. Even talking in terms of liberal and conservatives at this point is just nonsense. It's part of the dialectical psyops. I mean, it always has been, but in a post-Trump presidency world, any reversion back to that left-right paradigm at this point is just, it's not only deceitful because it was always a deceit, but now it's just irrelevant. It is irrelevant. We are so far beyond that. In our present military junta and martial devolution, this is a projection of fear. Right? That's what these kind of psyops that we're facing are a projection of fear from the globalists, the Luciferians, the communists, all of other iterations and allies of the present chaos that we find ourselves in. They don't have as much control as they are used to having. They are preparing the audience for another insurrection like the one on November 3rd and false flag narrative like the one launched on January 6th, the Fed insurrection, which, I mean, all of their musings about it just look so silly. Most people are either not paying attention, don't know anything about it, or they know that it's complete bullshit. There are those committed believers like Liz Cheney and most of the idiots on TV, but it's a flat psyop, and you need to just shatter through it and realize that they're projecting fear in their desperation to cling to this, to the Patriot Front. I mean, look, the Patriot Front marchers, right, they're wearing khaki pants and blue jackets, which is the FBI uniform. They didn't even change the uniform. So it's so pathetic. It's also fucking pathetic. It is so fucking pathetic It's pathetic because these lies, if they are believed, show how ridiculous the believer in the lie is. And your silence about it, maybe you don't believe it, but you're furthering belief in it by being silent. You can't be silent. We're already in and have been in an asymmetric civil war. You can't sit on the fence. And you have to look at what's actually happening with this nonsense. And make no mistake, we are in a military junta evolution of some kind. Exactly what, I don't know. None of us really do. We've talked about it before, Granite Shadow and Free Jack and all the Zodiac and all that stuff. But you have to realize that the permanent administrative bureaucracy, at all levels, including state and local, they enact policies dictated by the scientific money power elite through systems and networks and nodes. They're compartmentalized, but they're really interconnected in ways that even most of the operators aren't familiar with. But the majority party currently in power, or at least appearing to be in power, is the opposition. The opposition minority party complains about said policies and furthers them along, giving the dissenters the appearance of democratic debate and process. Right, that's the whole Republican Democrat thing, and it's bifurcating, right? So you've got, you know, Manchin and Sinema, who are the sober Democrats, and you got the woke crowd, and Biden's sputtering and spewing nonsense, and then over here you've got, you know, the MAGA Republicans that are sitting on Bannon's show telling you all about the great things that they're doing. In the meantime, Mitch McConnell and John Thune and Kristi Noem and Nikki Haley are, like, positioning for, you know, America first-ish sounding nonsense and platitudes to appeal to the deplorables, who are, like, you know, the Trump cult, and kind of bring them back into that fold so we can play Democrat-Republican dialectics. And it's so tired. We are so beyond that. If you fall for that at this point, you're not only not fighting, you're useless. You've got to get over that. You've got to disabuse people of this stuff. We're beyond that. We're beyond that. Whether Democrat, Republican, Independent, caucusing with either party, it's a distinction without a difference, save for the raging division and rancorous debate on cable news and social media, which is just, again, part of the PSYOP. What you have here, the result is a diffusion of energy accomplishing nothing. But you are solidifying the oligarch's position, if you do that, entrenching the psychological warfare doctrines as a permanent feature of the new paradigm as we are moved on to the next crisis. This is approaching. The middle of this month is going to be a turning point in a series of crises. We've got some kind of operation going on in China with 13 million people under lockdown. They're trying to invent new variants. You've got the Supreme Court about to shoot down the federal mandate, but allegedly 90% of people have already complied. I don't believe that number for a fucking second. And then kind of devolve it back to the states so that the states can impose these things. In Washington, they've already, like, started assembling strike forces to go door-to-door for the unvaccinated. Things are going to – look, don't think because it's stupid, because it's failing, because people see through it, that the agenda stops. They have no option but to keep pushing forward. And they are true believers, so they will not quit. They have to be stopped. Don't waste your energy on nonsense. Otherwise, what happens is you'll fall for the next lie, you know, and then rinse, repeat, and they wash your brain and murder your mind. The winds of change can always move the tumbleweeds. The winds of change can always move the tumbleweeds. The winds of change come. You need to be a rock. But you need to think about these things in terms of what this medical tyranny is about. Now, look, I might be rambling here. Not doing a great job. I apologize again. Like I told you, this thing has affected me. But I got to get some of these things out. I'm hoping to give you at least some ammunition to think through what you're about to experience. And it's easier when it's a conversation, which, you know, if you want to call in, that's great. But a monologue is a little more difficult when you're, you know, suffering from a little bit of brain fog, which this thing definitely does give you. I'll just try to get through this, and hopefully it'll give you something to work with. You have to think that, you know, your body and soul, and what this medical tyranny is about, is taking control of your body in order to control your mind. I mean, make no mistake about that. That's what this is about. And if, you know, you're killed in the process, well, you know, collateral damage. Actually, it's not collateral damage. It's a goal. The Georgia Guidestones. Bill Gates, for God's sake, gave a TED Talk about using vaccines to reduce the world's population by 10 or 15%. And that's not enough. These people are telling you what they're doing, and yet we all want to kind of pretend, we want to forget, we want to cope by forgetting that they've told us what they want to do to us and our children. You cannot be silent about that. You know? Look, for the conservative liberals.
What are conservative liberals, Rex? I don't know.
You're all liberals, unless you're a Christian. Even then you might lapse. But for conservative liberals, bodily ownership is just a good electoral slogan, right?
Well, I believe in the vaccines, but they shouldn't be mandated. Right? It's all about liberty, right? You know, free choice, informed consent, all this nonsense. I mean, that's not nonsense.
But it's sort of like, you know, just, you're not actually fucking. You're pretending to. Okay? It's part of it, but it doesn't get to the bottom of things. You got to go balls deep. For libertarian liberals, bodily self-ownership is an absolute principle. It is the private property, beginning with your own bodily property, is the touchstone of libertarian ideology, and then followed up by NEP. But the fact of the matter is that conservative ideology will allow for some restriction on bodily autonomy. For libertarians, it is absolute. For progressive liberals, bodily ownership is absolute, but it involves murder of the innocent. It's absolute. You have the right to murder the most innocent children in the place where they should be the safest. It's always about death with them. But bodily ownership belongs to the state and or the collective in all other circumstances. Three of those liberal ideologies and strains and variants of liberal ideologies of modernism and modern thinking, which we've all been bombarded with and most of us believe to one degree or another, lies. Now, some of the parts of those lies are true. That's how they get you. You cut up the truth into little pieces, you take the core truth out, and you smuggle a little bit of truth from a different perspective in each strain and each variant that is designed to inoculate you with the deceit. And then through viral replication, that lie becomes part of who you are. And then you pit the libertarian and the liberal and the conservative against each other in order to further entrench their sense and belief in the lie, which they believed because they never examined the premise of that lie. The only way out of that is the truth. The only way out of that is Christ himself, and the only way out of it is to become truly Christian, because for the Christian, bodily self-ownership is subordinate to the absolute fact that God the Father owns your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and your body and soul were purchased from sin and death by our Lord Jesus Christ with his own precious blood. And that is the only way to understand anything. It is the only truth. No all the various stripes of liberals, from conservative to progressive. You know, they can debate bodily autonomy and government mandates. For the Christian, you have no right to accept government control of your body. In fact, you have a duty to refuse the government, the private corporations, or any other earthly pseudo-authority from tampering with God's property. And you have a duty to defend the innocent from the very same, especially the vulnerable, especially the most vulnerable. This is one of those ages in which the false meta-dialectics of the past are being synthesized into a new meta-thesis. I know oftentimes you hear Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, and that's true, and that is part of the manipulation as far as that goes. But the real dialectics that Hegel expounded were thesis, antithesis, synthesis. By putting the thesis and the antithesis in conflict, a synthesis of the two that is like neither of them, that becomes the new thesis, and it is a constant cycle that is trending in a direction, usually not a good one. When you have to, you really have to understand that, because we're currently in an age where the meta-narrative, not just the minor of things, but the whole meta-narrative is being synthesized into a new meta-thesis. That's what the transhumanist, singularity, technocratic society agenda, Great Reset, it's all about. But the synthesis is going to be something different. They manage it so that it becomes easy to believe in the inevitability of the synthesis. And it doesn't really matter if you believe in the inevitability of the synthesis as, you know, they're too powerful, they're going to win, so the defeatist mentality, or the good guys are in charge, and we're going to win, and the triumphalist mentality, or any other kind of fatalistic mentality. It matters little. It matters little. However, the cosmos is not unfolding dialectically. It only appears to unfold dialectically. Now, the dialectics are very real, and they can be used to manipulate, but the action-reaction game isn't real. It's synthetic. It's artificial. And when you introduce AI into these dialectics, it's going to become even more diabolical. The cosmos reality, the world in which we live, is actually triadic, not dialectical. And Christ Jesus breaks dialectics. We know that eventually time gives way to the aeon of eternity. But the future between here and there is unwritten. You have to venture forth boldly in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit and conquer. And it appears to me that at least at the meta level, the dialectical process has been engineered to redefine what human life is. And then all the downstream categories like culture, politics, economics, religion, you know, and not religious and spiritual, whatever the fuck, are subordinate to that. They, if you redefine what a human is, all of those other things are going to fall apart and click into place as strictly materialist, diabolical constructs. This is why the intended synthesis, when I say the intended synthesis, the technocratic society, singularity, Great Reset, there will be aspects of those things that are going to happen no matter what, but as far as the totality of it, it'll be a failure. But the part of the process, of the dialectical process that entails genocide, that's already succeeded. Maybe not as much as they would have liked, maybe not as much as they're telling us, but it has already largely succeeded. We're simply awaiting the horrible results which is a soft kill, slow death, genocide, and sterilization of future generations. Barring some intervention we have not yet conceived, whether it's some sort of scientific breakthrough that can reverse some of this or mitigate it, or whether it is direct intervention by God himself, I don't know. But barring something of that magnitude, the genocidal process has been accomplished, and we're going to see the results. We're seeing the results, and it's horrible, and it causes real wounds. And like I said, don't let those wounds fester. Comfort people. Comfort each other. This is what we are facing. And I started this by talking about, you know, trepidation and hope and peril and all this kind of stuff. It's a bad situation. But there are a lot of encouraging signs if you boldly proclaim the truth, boldly seek the truth, and work together with other truth seekers to fight against whatever this is that we are facing at this moment. It's weakening. They're weak, which makes them very dangerous. We cannot be silent. We have to resist. We have to be loud. We have to proclaim the truth boldly. Because if you believe the lies, you're denying the truth. The truth will not be denied. There are costs to challenging the lies. People don't like the lies they believe to be challenged. You must challenge the lies charitably, in love, for the sake of truth, but boldly and firmly. And you have to realize that you are under assault, you have been wounded, you will continue to be wounded, many of us will fall. But we have to proceed forward boldly. We have to expose the lies, boldly proclaim the truth. And that begins standing naked before God and acknowledging your helplessness and asking for the help that you need to do the work he has asked you to do. Believe me, it is not easy. It is very difficult, and we have to help each other. And thanks to all of those who have helped me. I couldn't have gotten through the past few weeks alone, and I couldn't be here doing this today without the help of those who love the truth as well and care enough about me to help me. But above all, it was Lord Jesus himself that provided me with the help. To that end, I am grateful. And this prayer, with which I'm going to close, has been instrumental. Bow your heads and pray with me. This is important. This could save your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, you went about healing all those who were sick and tormented by unclean spirits. You cleansed the lepers, opened the eyes of the blind, and by speaking a simple command, you empowered the crippled to rise up and walk. You sent forth your life-giving power to all those in need, including those you raised from the dead. O divine physician, I come to you now in great need of your intervention. I surrender my life and health into your loving hands. I ask you to send forth your healing power into my heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Remove from me every lie of the enemy and destroy all the word curses that have been spoken against my health. If I have accepted medical beliefs that I should not have, I ask for your forgiveness and denounce those beliefs right now. I break every agreement that I have made with my sickness and disease. I denounce every symptom of my illness, and I ask to be set free by the power of your truth. Please send forth your Holy Spirit to renew my mind and cleanse my thoughts. I refuse to bow down and serve the symptoms of my illness any longer. Please draw my attention away from myself and help me focus on your enduring love. O divine physician, you are the source and strength of my recovery. Show me how to proceed with your plan for my restoration. I surrender my health care into your loving hands. Please help me to discern every aspect of my treatment, medication, and recovery process so that my every thought and action conforms to your good, perfect will for my life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the midst of battle. Spiritual wars require spiritual weapons. Asymmetric wars require asymmetric weapons. Psychological wars require psychological weapons. Use the right weapon on the right field of battle and realize we are fighting on multiple fronts. Many have fallen. Many will fall. We've all been wounded. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, psychologically. Don't let the wounds fester. Tend to the wounds. Mourn the fallen. Defend the innocent. Never, ever deny the lies. Believe the truth. And if we fight hard enough, we pray hard enough, we work together hard enough, we will win. And we will win. And we will win. All glory to the one true triune God. In the name of Jesus Christ. This is Rex signing off. And the thunder of liberty never dies.
Countries are doing to us, China, everyone. They're killing us on trade. If I'm elected president, we will win, and we will win, and we will win. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump, thank you.